We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I have thought to read from the verse 25 in the chapter. There's a service going on in the house of God as we break into this part of Luke chapter 2. And our attention is concentrated on two individuals. And of course, there are other things to be said about the service, but these two are in the congregation. One's a man, an elderly gentleman. The other is a woman, and we'll be reading about her as we go down the verses here. But look, if you will, at this chapter with me. It's a delight to be here. Joy especially to have the Word of God in my hands, and to be handling this Word, and to be able to preach it too. I'm thankful for every opportunity the Lord gives to me to say a little word in His name. And my prayer is, as I come back to Feltham and meet with friends who are here, and recall old times together, we praise the Lord for these things. And it's lovely to be here. It's my prayer that the Lord will visit us in a special way and meet with us and open His heart to us. Well, that's what the Lord has done in His Word. And here in the Psalms, it's true, we can say the Lord has opened up His heart to us. And it is our privilege then, as we sit at His feet, open the book as we do now, to hear His voice in this day. It's not coincidence that the Lord's Day is the first day of the week. And that sets the standard for the rest of the days in the course of the working week, doesn't it? So when we meet in God's house, sit down at the Savior's feet, call upon His name, open His Word, look to His promises afresh, then there's encouragement for us. And not only encouragement, but direction. I believe that's very, very important for the Christian. Essential that we have God's guidance, God's overseeing surveillance for the course of the week, that we might walk in His way. There are decisions you'll have to make, doubtless, this week, and it will be to our interest that we make them in a manner pleasing to God, that we have God's mind about them. I think that's what we need to say. We need to have God's mind about where we go, what we do, what we say, and how we think. And now we come to meditate on God's Word. We would have, again, God's mind to be given unto us, and thus we have prayed. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Very often in the Bible, the word just refers to his being justified, if we're talking about a man, as we are here. And certainly it can be said of Simeon, whose name means hearing, advisedly hearing what the Lord says. That's a fine attribute for a Christian, you'll agree. We will want to be in tune with God. How important when we come to pray just before the preaching of the Word that we will say, Lord, give me the hearing ear, the understanding heart ready to respond. So we have a man whose name suggests that he's listening for the Lord to speak to him. I think sometimes in the hurly-burly stresses of life, we may come to God's house and not have the hearing ear as we desire or as we would need. Let us take this exhortation then to heart, that we will say, Lord, in some senses, let us be men or women, let us have the Simeon quality, that we'll be here listening, especially listening for the Lord to speak. That's a precious experience for the Christian. And the same man was just. Let me just slip in the word justified here. And I'm tempted to expand on that, but I must not. To simply say, however, a justified man is a saved man. God has put away his sins, and now he is accepted in Christ the Lord. You have to be saved. You have to be a justified person. This man, this same man, you see, we may put stress on that, the same man was justified. Let me just expand it that way. He was just and devout, and the devotion follows the justification. If a man's heart's right, then even in worship, there'll be the response. Wouldn't you agree? If he's a justified man, I'm listening for the voice of the Lord, then there's the devotion, the giving of himself, waiting for the consolation of Israel. God's people are a waiting people. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the hope of Israel. And we are waiting in our turn for that great day of redemption, the redemption of the body, when Christ shall appear in the clouds of glory. So we also, like this same man, we're waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God has a promise for his ancient people Israel as well. So we can make good on that and speak about or think about the consolation of Israel, for God still has that in his covenant purpose. And then we come to the capstone of it all in this description. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. How lovely to see a believer in touch with God, the Spirit of God resting upon him. And then we come to this very significant piece of information. It changed his life in a way. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, for the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, you see. And he was listening, wasn't he? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Because if we're listening, the Lord has things to say, obviously. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was not only going to hear and have the Spirit of the Lord upon him, revealing things to him, but he would see. And one day in your life, if you're a believer, you'll see the Lord Jesus too. We're going to see him. We're waiting for that consolation. And we have that sure and certain knowledge in our hearts that we're going to see the Lord one day. Now, this man is different, and he knows that he'll be kept alive. We're not told about his age, but we assume that he's quite elderly. And the Lord is saying, you'll not die yet. Praise the Lord. The Lord governs our days, doesn't he? Not only our steps by our desire, but our days. And the Lord is assuring him, you'll not die. Maybe he was infirm. Perhaps already there was a trembling in his limbs, a weakness in his frame. But the Lord is saying, you'll not die. Not until you've seen with your own eyes the Lord's Christ. You'll not wait for the consolation of Israel in vain. Verse 27 brings us to this very eventful day in his life. And he came by the Spirit. That's the third reference to the Holy Spirit and his work in the life of Simeon. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And it's fine for us to think about coming to the house of God in the Spirit already with heart prepared. Our souls in the right place with God. He came by the Spirit. We're tempted to ask, have you prayed this morning? Have you come to worship in the Spirit, led by God's Holy Spirit to the house of God? And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He reminds the Lord, that's what you told me, Lord. And so it is. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. So the Lord has his people among the Gentiles, and he has his people also in Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. So they got a blessing for being at the house of God. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And do you know that right to this very day, the gospel of Christ is still a sign to be spoken against? The world is not for the Bible. If you have among your acquaintances those who are ungodly, and I expect you have, they are not always favorable to the message of Christ. And there are many, as you know, not many miles from here perhaps, and they're ready to speak out and speak against the Bible and speak against the Lord. They'll throw their weight in the balance in that way. This shouldn't take us by surprise, because hasn't the Lord already told us? I well in advance. Now there's a little interlude in verse 35. You see the brackets there, parenthesis, and this is an aside spoken unto Mary in particular. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And there the brackets end. And because those words are in brackets and they have particular meaning for Mary, because she will have to suffer the offense of the cross because of the reproach of Christ. But if we just omit the words that are in brackets and read the last part of verse 34 right into the rest of verse 35, leaving out, as I say, the words in brackets there, let's do that. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now you can see why the Lord allows people to speak out, some of them unfavorably, some of them with fierce criticism. There are hurtful words used at times. And this may not sit well with you, and you may be taken aback by it and disappointed by it. But the Lord is saying, I repeat the words I uttered moments ago, well in advance the Lord has told you. Here's a sign that is spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. We know where a man stands immediately when he's tested by his reaction to the gospel and to the word of the Lord. Right away, if his heart is right, if he's a justified man, so to speak, then he rejoices. There's comfort for him in the word of God. He's glad about it. But then there are others, they don't want to know. There's rebellion, maybe bitterness there, or hardness. You can see that often quite instantly. And the thoughts of their hearts are revealed. We can find out where they stand in an instant when we test them with the message of the gospel. Now, the scene changes. We're still in the temple, still at the service. We have focused on that one member of the congregation, Simeon by name. We come to the lady in question. Verse 36 introduces you. Nice to be introduced. come to the house of God this morning, the Lord has an introduction for you. He's going to introduce you to this lady. The Nehemiah has in the Old Testament for its equivalent the name Hannah. And maybe you have a friend called Hannah, or for all I know, we may have a Hannah in the congregation. Well, we have the New Testament equivalent. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, or the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She couldn't go very far, you see, with her age, but insofar as she could, she spoke about the Lord. And we'll finish the reading there. I'd like you to keep your Bible open. At least put a marker. That might be best. Put a marker in this place, because I anticipate that we'll turn to one or two other portions of Scripture. And I want you to get back to Luke chapter 2 with no difficulty. Let's just keep our Bibles open. And we'll ask the Lord to draw near and fill this house. Some friends are away in the Lord's service, some are on holiday, and yet it's a matter of gladness with us. The Lord's always here, isn't he? And we'll say, Lord, draw near now. Draw near to me. How about you praying, Lord, sit down in the seat beside me. You have things to say. Make me like Simeon in this respect, that I may have the hearing ear and the listening heart. I don't want to miss what the Lord says. It would be tragic, you see, if you were to come to this service of all services, where you have heard about the right attitude of heart and soul, through tiredness or preoccupation with something else, you just didn't hear, didn't take it in. We need help in that regard, you'll agree. I need help in that way, and so do you. Lord, help us to have the hearing ear, and we confess straight away we'll not have the hearing ear and the readiness of response and the understanding heart unless thou dost minister to us and even give us these very qualities. Lord, give me the hearing ear. Give to me, I pray of thee, the understanding heart. Give to me, Lord, the readiness to listen. Let me, every time I open the book or read this sacred page, that I'll have a listening ear, waiting for not only the consolation of the people of God, but waiting for thee to speak. Work in our lives, Lord. Help us. We think of all in the congregation, those who are young and those who are older. Minister to each one. Lord, don't leave a single one out in this service. But we pray that every soul will be able to say of a truth, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came this morning. The Lord seemed especially to speak with me. Father, hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you about a dear old lady who walked with God. You can read about her here in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through to 38. And of course, we have read the words together. But this woman is rather unique. She's a prophetess. She belongs to the tribe of Asher. She's a woman of great age. Even if we think of ladies in the Bible, it seems right to say it's not polite to inquire into their age. And very tactfully here, if we look at the language of Scripture, we're skirting round the exact figure. But the details are there. She was a widow for 84 years. That's more than some people have for a lifetime. A widow for 84 years. And then she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married for 7 years before that. So take the 84 years of widowhood. Take the 7 years of marriage. And, well, simple arithmetic. You come to 91, so she's in her 90s at least. But then we have to reckon on her being married. The Bible doesn't tell us what age she was. Was she very young? Was she 16? She could have been older. Maybe some would argue she could have been a little younger. But let's take 16, just for the purpose of illustrating her age. She's in heaven now and shall not mind us talking about her age. But if we add to the 91, the 16 that we have imagined she was, 16 years of age when she married, and I'm stressing the fact that's only speculation, but I have it in mind to get to the illustration. If we add the 16 to the 91, then she's a grand old lady of 107 years. 107 years of age. And the facts show she has served the Lord all the days of her life. And when it comes to walking with God, if we allow the years of babyhood to pass, and let us just stay with the suggestion of 107 years of age, then throughout that time, the most part of it anyway, she walked with God. She's described here as a prophetess. And why we don't look for prophets and prophetesses in our time, because now we have the written word in its complete form. So the Lord requires you, and He requires me, to go by the book. But in those times, the days of Anna, the New Testament scriptures were not as yet given. And it's a fitting occupation for a lady who walks with God, a lady of such seniority that she has this gift, this talent. She's a prophetess. What does that convey to you? That's why I said, really, she's a lady who walks with God. As a prophetess, she communes with God. She's in touch with the Lord. No wonder the verses describing her mention serving God. That's verse 37, if you want the reference again. Serving God, there's mention made of fastings and prayers, and night and day. Of course, she has communed with the Lord. And as a prophetess, best of all for the people who were about her, she has a word from God. There are people like that. And these people are a joy to meet, because when you talk to them, I have a word from God, and it's always fresh, right up to date. I was reading in the Bible today, this lady will say, or a man will say. Many a time I think of Mr. Ernest Romo, brother of a very dear friend of mine, and Dr. Green's here, and Brother Stephen, a number of us. Brother George's brother. One day he took me to see his brother. I'd never met Ernest before in my life. And we came up to the doorway. George probably pressed the doorbell, and Ernest came to the door, and immediately George turned around and spoke of his friend. He was introducing me, and Ernest reached out his hand, And his word of greeting was, "And where did you read in your Bible today?" I had expected, "Hello, how are you?" And it threw me for a little bit. Now, I had read my Bible that day, and I was really glad. But that was his standard greeting. Extraordinary. "And did you read your Bible today?" Or, indeed, "Where did you read your Bible today?" And although the spelling of his Christian name is different, no wonder he was called Ernest. If we allow that other similar word to creep into our thoughts, well, he was Ernest in more ways than one. "Where did you read in your Bible today?" Here's a lady whose life is an inspiration. It serves us well that I should take such a theme. If I preach on this lady of advanced years, I tell you she's a prophetess, she has walked with God, she's a woman of prayer. The verses really say that as an extra. And I put it to you, if we have assumed already she's a prophetess, we could have just taken it for granted. Already she's a woman of prayer. But no, the Lord will say so, just so you don't miss it. How do we measure up to this dear old lady, as I have described her? Have we learned to walk with God as she has? Have we learned to commune with God? Are we in touch with the throne? Do we know how to pray? She certainly does. Coming into the temple, into the house of God, a woman of prayer. We need people like that in our congregation. And you will agree that the congregation is blessed indeed to have one like that. And we want to bring in the men folk too, and not just say, "Well, it's a lady. It just so happens I'm preaching on this lady." But we will include the men too. Are you walking with God? Are you in touch with the throne? It's going to help your pastor every Lord's day as he preaches. As he opens the book, to know there are people in the congregation already in touch with the Lord and who have God's hand upon them. There's Simeon, we said the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was in the congregation. And Anna, coming in that instant, a woman of prayer, a prophetess who has a word from God, if that word is required. It's just tremendous to look at this. But there's other information. Verse 36, for example. What a collection of names we have there. And a lot of people are thrown out of sorts with Bible names. We tend to read them through very quickly. And sometimes there are names in the Bible which may not be read at all, but merely pass by as being too difficult to pronounce. But these names in the Bible that come from the Old Testament are meaningful. They're not there for nothing. You could say, "Well, here I am reading about Anna, but what would I know of Phanuel?" Nothing. And some might even say, "What would I know of the tribe of Asher?" Well, there are those in the congregation who can put some facts together about the tribe of Asher, but quite likely there are others who may say, "I never even knew there was a tribe called Asher, one of the 12 tribes of Israel." But these details are set into the record. My argument is they're not there for nothing. But if we can say little about Asher, some of us, or if we can say nothing about Phanuel, and maybe nothing about the name Anna, then we're led to inquire further into the meaning of those names. Let me suggest that this collection of names is like a spiritual history. You should see that. If you like, a treasured diary for Anna herself. We're going to look into her soul here. We're going to enter into her chamber for prayer and meditation with these names. These names to me are like her own personal record, a spiritual pedigree, if you like, of Hannah or Anna. Well, that name Anna means grace. And essentially, that's the grace of God. So we have to take that on board and say, here's a woman, an extraordinary person of great age, still a shining example for every believer, really inspiring us. The way she walks with God, communes with God, and is still described as a prophetess, the kind of person who could say to you, I had a word from the Lord today, meaning here it is in the book. We don't aspire to be like those who claim to have all sorts of dreams and visions and revelations. I think they put themselves in perilous ground. But it's right for the Christian to say, I had a word from the Lord this morning when I was reading in such and such a place. God seemed to speak to my soul. I got a word from the book. Oh, men and women, every day, let's learn from Anna. Really, let's learn from her. Let's inquire of the Lord more particularly. Let's seek a word from God. Don't go through the day as if you were a heathen, as if the influence of a pagan society had marked your life and soiled your spirit, that you have known nothing of communing with God or calling on His name. That would be a mistake for you as a Christian. But she's a woman who could say, I've had a word from God. You're a believer, but it may be that you and the Lord are not in speaking terms. Well, anyway, there's the word Anna. That's the first name, obviously, her own name. It means the grace of God. Then we come to Phanuel, the daughter of Phanuel. And what does that mean? Does it have a meaning? Yes, it does. It means the face of God. I want you to think about that. And then there's Asher. And that means happiness or blessing. I ask you to put the words together. I have said already, it's like her spiritual history. Her own pedigree of walking with God. So that Anna can say in very truth, I know this from what I read about her here. But let's just thread the names together and their meanings, rather. The grace of God, Anna. The face of God, Phanuel, the blessing of God, the blessing especially of knowing God, that's Asher. Let's thread these ideas together and make it Anna's testimony. And Anna can say, God has been exceedingly gracious. Gracious, that's Anna. God has been exceedingly gracious to me. He has allowed me as an old person to gaze upon the face of God. That's Phanuel. That's a prophetess. In a spiritual sense, that was her privilege and her joy. She had been in the courts of the king, gazing upon the face of God. I prayed this morning that we might run the race looking unto Jesus, seeing there the face of Christ in the scriptures. But in her case, that very day in the temple of God, the Lord took her up a step or two, and that as she gazed on the face of God, and came close to Simeon, and saw that infant form in his arms, she could say very truly, God has been exceedingly gracious to me today, for this day, looking upon the face of this child, God manifest in the flesh, I have seen the face of God. And what then? I'm happy. What a blessing to look upon Jesus Christ. What a thrill, what a joy for her. We were singing, or rather reading that psalm this morning, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and into his presence with praise. That Psalm 100 tells us to come into God's presence with joy. And certainly, in Anna's life and experience, we can appreciate the kind of joy that filled her heart. No wonder she went out and spake of him. She would have spoken about the Lord anyway. That was her calling in life. All those years of widowhood and loneliness. Yet, I would venture to say she wasn't lonely, for she was walking with God and knew God in this extraordinary way. I say she would have spoken about the Lord anyway. But now, this day, she could say, going out from the house of God as she did, for at 107 she's still nimble. She's still able. She'd been to Jerusalem. The house of God is up there in the heights. She may have lived very near and then had less of a hill to negotiate. But whether near or far she got there, she was able to get around, and the mind is as clear as a bell. And the word of the Lord is with her. And she could say to people, you know, I have seen the Lord today. I've seen Jesus today. You ask me, have I been to the house of God? Yes, I have. Have I gone with prayer and praise? Yes, I have. But today, this day, with a blessing of all blessings, I have met the Savior, I've seen the Lord, seen Christ. Needless to say, our prayer is, Lord, lead us in the footsteps of Anna. Let us come ourselves into the house of God. Let us come, like Simeon, first of all, with the heart and mind ready to listen, listening to the Lord. And there has to be that, may I say. I want to speak to young people here. There has to be the listening of the heart to the Lord. Otherwise, you're missing ever so much in the Christian life. And then there has to be the quality of Anna. I speak to the young woman and to the older folks who are here. There has to be the quality of Anna. Anna, I said, is a spiritual record. The first thing in Anna's life is she met the Savior spiritually. She was saved. She could say, I have been saved by the grace of God. And then in prayer, even in times of grief and sorrow, for she had, being widowed at a very young age, if she was 16 at marriage, she was a widow at 23. But the tragedy didn't stop her from walking with God or going to seek God's face. Didn't stop her going to God's house. She's still there. All Scripture tells us about her. And it's so rewarding to do this study. Immensely rewarding. It lifts up our heart. It's bound to encourage every soul. And even if you say, well, I'm old, the devil might suggest to you, well, given your age, you needn't expect the Lord to work or speak in your life. But here is Anna. At least, to me, at least, she's 107 and possibly older. And the Lord's speaking to her. And the Lord is using her. And the Lord is blessing her. And I'm saying, therefore, whatever the circumstances, we can all excuse ourselves, and the devil doesn't make things easy. And he attacks us all the time, on the right and on the left, and from the rear, as well as right there before us to the face. There's many a setback. Well, I speak to you about Anna this day, that like her, you also may walk with God and know a wee bit more about what it means to walk with God and to have the thrill of sampling God's grace again in your life. And then, as the name Phanuel means to, in the open page of Scripture, to look into God's face there. Oh, there is a gospel song that carries the question, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? That question is relevant now. We mustn't miss it. We can't really inquire into the life of Anna without coming to that point too. What about your experience? What about your walk? There's no use saying Anna did all this and then we leave ourselves out of the picture. There must needs be a challenge here as well as an inspiration. And I believe the Lord's speaking in this service. I believe the Lord's speaking to some who are young. And I believe God's speaking to some who are older. We had a motto in our denomination last year. I hope they haven't forgotten about it. But it was a theme drawn from the Northern Ireland revival, the Ulster revival of 1859. A minister had said back then, let us do something more for God. And I would want our church as always, not just for last year, but this year and next year, I want individuals to say, let me do something more for God. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? Or to turn the question around, how long has it been since the Lord spoke with you? Since, like Anna, you yourself, you personally, you got a word from God as clear as day in God's book. That's the thing. I think we should turn over to Genesis because I wouldn't like to just leave the message without giving you more detail about her name. I know you have listened with attention and you haven't listened with a doubtful mind at all. Nevertheless, when we get names, and especially names that perhaps we're unfamiliar with, then we're told about the meaning. No sooner are we on the way home than we can barely recollect what was said. And at least you ought to have the name Asher, the name of Anna's tribe, imprinted on her heart. This tribe of Asher, some think, is a lost tribe. Certainly not lost with God, for here we are in the days of Christ. And Anna is distinctly referred to as having belonged to the tribe of Asher. Well, does that convey anything to you? If you turn to Genesis chapter 30, I would like you to do this. Because even if you've forgotten some other things we have said, some other things you'd like to have remembered in a clearer way, then if you mark this portion in God's precious word, Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. Why have I brought you here to Genesis 30 and 13? Just to acquaint you with the record of the birth of a little boy in Jacob's household. His name is Asher. And the meaning of the name, do you see? The meaning of his name is given. So you don't have to rely on me to tell you what Asher means and to say, well, I'll take your word for it. But bless the Lord, you have it in the book. You have an infallible testimony. Do you see? The Holy Spirit himself, the author of this book, the Holy Spirit has seen to it that you have the opportunity to come by with all reality and vividness the meaning of the name of Asher. Maybe the Lord's preparing you for the reading of that portion in Luke chapter 2. But let me read it. Verse 13, Genesis 30. Leah, the mother, said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Well, Asher means happy, and it also means blessed. So if I can suggest that you mark the word happy in verse 13, underline the word in your Bible, happy. And then again, underline the word blessed, and link the two together. And then go to the name Asher, the last word in the verse, and underline that as well, and finalize these links. Link the three words together. The Holy Spirit has brought them together. He intends us to see this clearly in the Scriptures. The Nehemiah means happy. I have the joy of God. If you're a Christian, the Lord hasn't called you to be miserable. We may have days of disappointment and days of hurt, days when there's a setback, and there may be times when there are tears, but overall, I can say of Anna, she's a happy woman. You can see it in her face. She walks with God. The Lord has spoken to her. And when the Lord speaks to your soul, it brings a joy. It brings a blessing with it. And here is Leah saying, happy. That's Asher. The word back of happy in the original Hebrew scriptures is this word, which we'll just pronounce as Asher. And then the word blessed in this case springs from the same root, Asher, happy and blessed. And thus Anna today speaks on these many years later. There's a blessing from God for your soul. Oh yes, there is. I heard a man sing one time, I am blessed all the days of my life. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning, and then later, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. And you can sing that today or say it, and pray that the blessing of the Lord will be in your life. I have said a couple of times, maybe more than a couple of times, in Lisburn when preaching there, what kind of church member are you? And there's a little saying that goes, if every church member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? May the Lord bless His word today for His name's sake. Amen. Make us more like Anna. Teach us to walk with God and to have the joy of God as we so do.